Jerry G.
What's up, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine right here on MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. It's the beginning of the week, and it is 420 week, guys, just to let you know.
420? I don't know anything about the devil's lettuce.
Well, I'm your girl, Jay Malvin. You can find me on the gram at 305_Brownie. Shout out to Willie of Live Sane Media, and you can find him at LMG_Willie, and that's Willie with a Y.
Shout out to Will.
Shout out to Jensen Photography, who's in the studio with us today as well.
Jen, what's good? What's up? Well, thank you for tuning in. This is George from 305 Magazine, and today we have... Man, it's like so difficult to classify you in one little box, bro. We have Derek G, photographer, branding monster. You throw events, you do God knows a little bit of everything, bro.
Pastelito eater.
We got the monster here in the house. What's up, man? How you doing?
What up?
Man, the mic, bro.
The mic. Y'all hear me or no?
No.
Welcome to 305 Radio, Derek.
What up?
What's good, Derek, man? How you been?
Good, busy.
Good, man. Shit, busy's an understatement for you, though. I mean, when you walked in, say exactly what you just told me. You were like, yo, lucky you caught me right now.
In the next month, I'll be in Brazil, Barranquilla, and Medellin.
Bro, you need someone to hold your camera, though. Take me with you, bro. Shit.
That what are you going to be doing out there?
Tell us about
Brazil's
it.
Brazil's personal trip. Barranquilla, I'm actually going out with Yuli. Yuli's fighting in Barranquilla.
Nice.
So we're going to go out there.
Shout out to Yuli.
Yeah, Yuli the Monster. And then Medellin's personal trip.
Yeah, have fun, man.
Thanks.
That's going to be dope. That's really
I haven't been back in 10 years. Last time I was in Medellin is when we did the Rick Ross and the Dream video.
Yeah.
The All I Want.
Man, that's 10 years ago.
It's crazy.
Shit. That's crazy, 2009, man.
I think.
Man, so... For those that don't know, you've been one of the higher tier photographers in the entertainment industry in music in Miami
here
for quite some time. We don't have to dive into it like too much, but like just give us a little footnotes on how you started, where you started at, and where you're at now.
I mean, photography was a hobby. I was never taken serious. It's just something I did for fun. I thought I was gonna be working on cars my whole life. Like that's my passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's too hot in Florida to work on cars for a living.
Shit, you're always with car clubs, and you're rolling with cars.
That's what I like to do, but the photography stuff just kind of happened, man. Kind of the way the whole celebrity thing tied in was I used to get all the cars for the music videos in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd get on set. Mm-hmm. Then I bought myself a camera, and back then when I was shooting on set, there was no social media, so then no one had to worry about leaking the photos.
Yeah.
Because, like, where are you going to leak them to?
Yeah, it's nothing.
You know?
MySpace.
No, it was before MySpace. I had a Blogspot.
Oh, shit.
And then, like, people back then actually went to web. Like, think about when was the last time you actually went to a website.
Ever.
Everything is on your phone. Everything's on an app. You don't physically go on an actual website anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
So back then, like, my website was actually an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped me a lot. But kind of being on set, shooting behind the scenes, and that's how I started meeting everyone and kind of became, like, the go-to guy in Miami for all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Bro, you kind of made the whole behind-the-scenes thing happen.
I made it popular. I think the timing was right. I think I got it before it became something. And the thing was, I'm not the first photographer to tag along with an artist. Like, obviously, the Beatles had that, Michael Jackson had that, like, so I'm not the first. The difference is, I think the artist that I had, which is a Birdman from Cash Money, he did things in real life that people would just rap about and you would only see music videos. With him, you would see it on the daily through our videos that we would put out. And I think that was the wow factor, because it wasn't a music video. It was just like, yo, we're going to London, we're jumping on a private jet. And I think that was the different factor that everyone else missed out, because everyone would jump like, oh, we're going shopping, but they're going to like a regular ass store. We're going shopping at Louis Vuitton in Paris.
That's insane. Yeah,
so no. That was, and I think, like I said, it was all about timing. And then social media happened, and then everyone needed content, you know? And the thing is, unfortunately, in that game, kind of you don't really see me tied in with an artist anymore. Mm-hmm. It's because there's so many young guys that want to get put on that are willing to go for free for the experience and for the exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, I'm a fucking grown up. Like, I need money. I can't just do it. I can't just do it for the look.
Yeah.
You know, so I got in at a good time. And
I am expensive, kinda, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I am expensive.
So you know. So, but yeah, man, that's kind of how that fell in. But it was all because of cars. It's like my love for cars is what got me in front of all these people, and then the photography, and then just kind of, photography is a passion of mine. I'm not gonna say it's not, like, it's so much a passion of mine that I don't want to do it for work anymore. I just want to do it for fun. Wow. And like make money different ways, just because I hate deadlines. I hate people telling me how to edit a photo. Like, it's my, you don't tell a painter how to fucking paint a painting.
Yeah.
Or you don't tell me how to edit a photo, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, the photo represents you. I can understand that. It's like the battle between, like, people wonder why I never really got into directing music videos, and I had the in. Mm-hmm. The problem is it's an ego battle between yourself as a director and the artist. At the end of the day, yeah, you're a director and you're an artist in your own right, but what you're creating is a piece of art that represents the artist. So of course the artist has say, because it's like,
yeah,
the video makes them look bad, the artist is going to fight against it. You as an artist creative,
mm-hmm,
you want to have your say because it's your piece of art, but at the end of the day, if it represents somebody else, they're going to always overpower you. So I was just like, it's going to be a constant battle for nothing. So I would just rather not do it. That's why I never really got into the music videos.
I always wondered that, man. Because you're everywhere. Well, you were everywhere behind the scenes with every artist. It was a matter of time.
Everyone, it's easier. No one bugs you to do behind. Nobody bothers you. You're documenting what's happening. You're not in control of anything. You're not telling people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just literally a fly on the wall. So it was the best job.
I could imagine, man. Those videos are fire. Fire, man. You were behind the scenes of
like big
every
budget.
Major.
Yeah, big budget video.
That is really dope, man. And then from there, well, your love for cars. What's your ideal car here?
My ideal car is my convertible. But, I mean, it's hot right now, so it sucks right now in the heat.
Yeah, bro, it definitely
does. Sitting in traffic. Like, convertibles are cool when you're riding, but when you get stuck in traffic, that shit sucks. So you still
follow your passion for cars, though?
On a personal level, I don't do it, like...
I mean, yeah, but yeah, you still...
Yeah. Like, I have my toys and stuff like that, but I don't, like... I can't see myself doing it for work, especially here in Miami. It's too hot. No one wants to spend the right amount of money, you know?
Miami seems to be having that issue. No one wants to spend that kind of money.
Because here's my issue. Like, I'm pro 305 every single day. I could have moved to New York and LA and been set for the rest of my life, but I obviously want to pioneer here and make it here. Problem here is everyone's trying to be important.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to be famous but not have a reason why. And that's the problem. Everyone's trying to be a somebody without putting the work in to become that somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, I never try to be famous or I never try to be anyone. I did what I did and I just branded the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. So my name became something. But it wasn't like me, like, hey, look at me at the club popping bottles, or like, look at me now. I was just at the right place at the right time. Like, even if you really look around, there's not many pictures of me, like, with celebrities.
Not at all.
I was never that guy because I just find it cheesy. Like, one of the cheesiest things I've ever seen is when people are like, even people have done it with me where they, hey, I'm a fan, can I take a picture with you? And I'm like, sure. Then they post on social media, hey, I just finished chopping it up with my boy. Like, I don't even know who the fuck you are. So I can imagine how many times they do that shit with like a real celebrity per se, you know? So I just found it like people put value in being seen. I kind of put value in not being seen. It's kind of like more like, yo, what are you doing these days? Like, no one knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
Pretend they see me, I'm fine, you know? Like.
Yeah, you have more than enough to do.
You know, like.
And people, no one has to know.
Like, a lot of people wonder, like, how I make money.
Mm-hmm.
But I do so many things literally behind the scenes now that has nothing to do with photography, where, you know, I have a, you know, I make decent money, I live a good life,
I'm cool. You branded yourself out.
Yeah, no, well, I branched myself out. So, like, I'm doing more things now where I help other people kind of pop off,
mm-hmm,
and I'm on the back and just getting a check for it, and it's cool, because, like, I'm not trying to be in the limelight.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
You know, like, I'd rather just be low-key. Like, think about every time you see me, who am I with?
Yourself.
always
so.
So it's like I'm not trying to deal with like the BS that comes with being famous or popular or having too many eyes on you or whatever, you know.
That is a pain in the ass, though.
It is, and mind you, like, I know firsthand what it is to like be around people that are really famous.
Yeah,
you know. And it's when you become famous, and obviously I'm not talking about myself, but I'm talking about some of the clients I've had, like, you sacrifice freedom, you sacrifice privacy. Like, I went once, and I realized this, going to a Walmart. I was on a tour bus. I'm not going to say what artist.
Okay.
We pulled up on the tour bus. The tour bus is not branded.
Okay.
We get to a Walmart. Everyone on the bus could get off except the artist. Because why? Because then it would become a commotion. Wow. And, like, as I got off the bus, I was looking at him looking out the window. He looked like a puppy looking out the window. Like, I want to go outside. And it's just like, I realized, like, man, it's a very... luscious life, but it's a luxurious prison.
Wow, that's
you get what I'm saying?
That's very well put.
Like, I can walk anywhere, go anywhere, and like, I have my peace of mind. Like, I don't need to like let people know what I'm worth. And that's the problem. When you become famous or when you become put yourself at a certain standard, you always got to keep it, even if you don't want to. Because as soon as you go down a notch, that's it, you fell off. And you're a has-been. And people start labeling you, and they don't want to fuck with you no more. No one knows where you stand. No one puts you at a... There's no quota, you get what I'm saying? Like, no one knows where I stand financially.
No one
knows nothing. There's no bar. So it's just like, well, I see he does stuff.
That's all they know.
That's all they need to know.
Man, you do a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? From photography, and then you know, for those that follow you and see the work that you've done, it's not like you stand still. You know what I mean? Especially you branded your shirts, you have your hats, you have a different types of gear. You do the every weekend in the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Which, pool party?
The pool party. Man, it might be too hot for a convertible.
Man, too hot for the pool.
Tune into Derek's Instagram during the weekend. Fire.
Tell me about this pool series.
Yeah.
It's cool. You know, it's something, it's not really a party. It's more of a vibe. It's a great place to talk business, a great place just to go to get to know somebody. It's not really like a craziness. It's not, you know, if you're in the mood for that, there's great pools on the beach to go do that at. You know, at the Mondrian, that's not it. You just come and vibe and relax and have a good time.
Good.
But it's cool. It's every weekend, and it's a nice vibe. It's not intense. You know, if you really want to go hard with the champagne sprays and all that, like I said, there's definitely great pool parties in Miami to do that. You know, I'm too old for that. I feel like I don't want to deal with that. I don't want champagne on me. Like, fuck around. You know. So I like the setup we have over there, and it's worked in our favor. And you know, even during WMC and Ultra and all that, some people want to get away from that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's the getaway. We call it kind of like the South Beach getaway on South Beach.
It's so difficult to like really picture because South Beach is insane.
Mm-hmm. But we're on West Ave, so we're on the intercoastal. We're not where all the mayhem is. Like, we're in a residential area.
Oh, that's even better.
So it's even more so why the music's got to be kind of a little lower, and it's different rules. We have different rules at the Mondrian as a property compared to everything on the Ocean Drive, Collins, Washington side, because that's entertainment district.
Yeah.
Where we are is all residential, so it's different laws, different everything.
So it has to be chill.
Different, yeah. Oh, so it has to be chill, yeah. Like,
that's even better, man. Yeah. That's even more attractive. To go over there.
Well, yeah, even like, since I don't drink or smoke or nothing, like, it's perfect for me. It's just a vibe, you know?
Man, Derek, since I've met you, my mind boggles every time you say that, man. It's so, because you're around all that shit.
That's why I feel like why I don't do it, because I'm around it so much. Yeah, one thing, I was raised by my mom, and she never made it a big deal. She always told me, if you're going to do it, I'd rather you do it here. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you do it at someone's house that you trust, that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, and since I guess she never made it a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah. The one thing, it's funny, like, it shows you how kids rebel. Like, I never pierced my ears. I was born in the 80s, raised in the 90s. Like, I never got gold teeth, being from Miami.
Yeah,
like, the one thing she forbid me from doing is the only thing I did.
What?
What do you think it would be?
Tattoos.
The only thing she said I couldn't do, and that's the only thing. I pierced my nose at 33. I'm 35 now, so it was like an impulse thing. It wasn't like I never.
Shit,
it was, she never made nothing a big deal. The one thing she made a big deal, and it just goes to show that kids rebel.
You got quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, I got my arms, but
that's still dope though. That's funny as hell. The one thing I didn't even think about it. Like, man, it's so nice.
I ask people around, and I always put my hand here. So no one ever like catches on.
Yeah, it's
points.
Funny.
See that?
Yeah, points. Good stuff. Bam, that's pretty interesting. That's a good analysis there.
So since I guess you never did it, I've only drank once. And I was 20, it was like 6 months after I turned 21.
Tell me what that was like.
It was in Tampa in Ybor City, and we were actually up there for a car show. A friend of mine had just finished building this car that took him like 4 years to build, and he wanted to go out and celebrate. Mm-hmm. There were 17 of us at the club, and there was 16 bottles at the table. He's like, yo, there's a bottle missing. So he realized who was it. It was me that I didn't get one. He's like, no, you're drinking tonight. I was like, all right. So we went. It was like, pick the blue bottle or the green bottle. Mind you, I don't know what's what. It was hypnotic or what.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I'll pick the blue one.
Okay.
And I didn't feel nothing. I think I drank half the bottle, poured the other half to like some friends that were there.
Yeah.
I didn't feel nothing after, so I was just like,
what's the point?
So yeah. Nothing happened afterwards?
That you remember?
No, I remember. I remember the night perfect.
Okay.
You know. But,
damn.
And I've never smoked nothing. I've never had a cigarette to my mouth, a blunt to my mouth. I'm sure I've been secondhand high with some of my clients.
I'm pretty sure.
But me, like, to the head, never.
Damn, that's
Kudos, it's impressive brother. Coming Kudos. From Miami.
Yeah, but I guess when you're from here, I guess you build Dade County tough, right?
Yeah. So. It's what it is. It's what it is, man. Shit. And I know that, I mean, tell us a little bit about your birthday, Scorpio Bash, we were talking about earlier.
He dropped it, bro.
That was Derek's fault.
He dropped y'all. He dropped y'all. How y'all gonna let him drop y'all? Then he dropped y'all again. That was on him. Look, my phone hasn't fallen. All nine of y'all safe. It's me and a couple of friends. You know, every year would grow. You know, some friends came every year. We'd have some new ones. And basically what I did was just, I don't really party. Mm-hmm. You know, 90% of the time I'm at a party, and even I'm working it, I'm not really hanging out. I'm more of a homebody. So for my birthday, I just kind of throw a party mm-hmm. for everyone else. But this was actually my last year. I turned 35 last year in November, and I decided it was going to be my last one, and I'll probably do one for my 40th in 5 years. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. It's just a gathering, just a couple of different Scorpios. We team up, and, you know, we do a themed party, mm-hmm. and it gets crazy. Every guy that comes has to bring a bottle and a chaser to get in.
Nice.
It's open bar the entire night.
Disaster.
Yeah. Disaster. And then since I'm the only one that doesn't drink, I'm the one that takes all the bottles home to save them for whatever other case. So I have...
But you must have a full liquor bar.
I have a full bar.
A full bar at the
crib. That shit will sit there till my next party. Cause
5 years later, it's all aged. It's all aged.
Yeah, it's aged.
I mean, so what do you have coming up, man? You have a lot on your plate, man.
Right now, like that I'm focused on is working with Yuli, you know, Team mm-hmm. Monster, and we're doing stuff with him and his boxing stuff.
Okay.
We also started working with Valerie Lavera. She's the MMA fighter that said, I can't wait to go back to the 305 to the Palacio de Jugos and all
yeah.
that. So I'm working with her now. Doing some,
shout out to Valerie.
Yeah, doing some branding stuff with her.
Come to
and
the show.
Her team. Shout out shout out Bean and shout out Serge from Art in Motion. Mm-hmm. And Yuli actually introduced us. You know, she walked out with us for Yuli's last fight. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing some stuff with her. Doing a couple things for Super Bowl, so getting awesome. Ready for that. That's gonna be some big stuff.
Huge.
Yeah, it's gonna
exclusive.
Be really big.
Exclusive.
So doing some stuff, and it's actually gonna be real cool because the brand that I'm working with is actually gonna be very in the city. Mm-hmm. Like they're gonna activate on the beach side like everyone else will, mm-hmm. but they're gonna be activating inland a lot. So a lot of the cities that never get to experience anything because everything always happens either in Wynwood or the beach yeah. or downtown are going to actually have activations in their neighborhoods
really?
by this big brand. So
that is amazing. That's good to hear. Can't wait for Super Bowl now.
Yeah, so it's going to be cool. I mean, I know a lot of brands are going to be doing stuff because I don't know why NFL is making such a big deal. I mean, Miami's hosted the most Super Bowls out of any other city, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why this year's so special. I'm not sure. I'm not a sports fan. So
a lot
I know.
Of money that's being thrown around.
But... like they even did that promo commercial that Pitt's rapping on and Ill Surges in and all that. Like I've never seen a promo video for another city.
First thing that comes to mind off that, and that's just, I don't know, I don't follow exactly what's going on mm-hmm. with the Super Bowl, but I know that when we had to upgrade our stadium, mm-hmm. it was to get this
Super Bowl. It was a bid, yeah.
It was to get this Super Bowl though, and to be in the bid for the next one. So we potentially have another Super Bowl in a year afterwards, something like that.
That'd be great.
But that's the whole thing. We had to get that upgrade done. Mm-hmm. If not, we weren't able to bid, to put up for the bid at all. Miami was not going to qualify. So we put up all this money for the stadium mm-hmm. to upgrade it. And we're getting that Super Bowl. It's a wrap.
Yeah, so 2020 will be here. So
insane, man.
Yeah, so the company that I'm, you know, working with, they've been working on Super Bowl since last year.
That's good.
That's how far ahead like they've been.
Also, you know it's gonna be dope.
Yeah.
So for everyone listening, whatever country you're in, when you hear Super Bowl, NFL, you already know. Derek's behind it.
I'm not behind it. I'm working with a company that's doing something big. And they got,
you seem to be very private and very selective about the jobs that you take and the people that you work with. So with your branding. Let's say somebody wants to get a hold of you and discuss the possibility of working with you and having you brand them. Are you open to that? Can people contact you, or do you kind of hand select it? Like, how does that work?
Problem is, a lot of people are full of shit. So I kind of don't have it open, because people tell you what they want to hear, or they'll tell you what they think you want to hear. And then when it comes down to it, they're full of shit. So I kind of just, I usually reach out to the people I want to work with. And for the most part, they're like down, you know. It's usually through a mutual friend, or like the thing with that.
In the DM or anything.
Not necessarily. It's never like that, because I feel like on Instagram, it's just, they don't know who you are. I almost rather like find someone they know and be like, yo, I want to talk to this person. And obviously they know that, you know, they can co-sign me. They know I'm not full of shit. I have my resume or my credentials or whatever you want to call it. So it's like, hey, I want to make an effort to do something with this person. You know, we sit down, and if we're on the same page, cool. If we're not, you know, no hard feelings, it's cool. You know, I tried.
Okay.
It is what it is. I mean, last few years, I've kind of been on this, everything happens the way it's supposed to. Good or bad, it's supposed to happen, because it's just going to veer. Like, I've never had, like, a down, if that makes any sense. It's always been up. And even when, like, something, like, fucked up happens to me, and you might get down, but it's, you do that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the world's putting you down. It's not like that person put you down, or that situation put you down.
Blessing in disguise.
It's, you're the one that's putting yourself down, because you're either sad, mad, angry, frustrated, whatever the case may be. But then when you open your eyes and you kind of get over it, you realize, like, damn, that was a hurdle that you needed to jump to, like, move on. So I've kind of just been on, like, when things happen, and if, even if they don't happen the way I want them to happen, I kind of just, like, try to sit back and analyze why that happened that way, and, like, now what are my, like, now I'm at this fork on the road because this happened, like,
what else can I
do? Now where should I go? Like, yeah, exactly. So, you know, and people are so scared to just be forward and honest with each other, and they don't understand how far honesty and forwardness goes. You know, just kind of, it's kind of like pretending to like someone you don't like. Just go, why are you doing that? Like, if you don't like them, just, you don't have to let them know, but just don't put yourself in a situation with them, or let them know, like, yo, I don't really care for you. And then you kind of just...
Yeah, but you don't have to be mean.
You don't have to be mean about it. I'm just like, yo, like, you know, I'm
good.
You
can't sit with us.
I'm good, you know? So it's kind of one of those things where it's... You know, it's... People... Especially here, man, unfortunately. I love Miami. And what's so weird about people from Miami is you can be in fucking Kansas City and run into someone with a 305 shirt or a Hailey shirt or a hat or whatever, or you realize that that person's from Miami and you guys become best buddies right there. But when you guys come back, everyone back to their corner.
Yeah.
So fucking weird. And, like, the support system here fucking sucks.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Egos. I think we're all tired of, for example, like, where are you from?
Miami.
Right. Where are your parents from?
Venezuela.
Good answer, see? But you from Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people would have said, oh, I'm from Venezuela. So I feel like Miami citizens... I mean, what I mean by citizen people, or people that were born and raised here, have an identity crisis, and we're all battling to be the, like, I guess the pioneers of our city. Because, you know, to me, Miami was born again 40 years ago. You know, after the whole Mariel and all the drugs and all that shit, that was like a reset button for Miami, because all the people that lived here before either died or left.
It was old rich community though. It was just old people.
Yeah, people.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, that's the beach, though. But yeah. I mean, like, everything else, like, you know, Hialeah is bombarded by Cubans.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of white people that still live in Hialeah. I met a cop that's a Hialeah cop, that he's like, yo, I've been here for 50 years. Like, he still lives on his block. Like, no one in his block speaks English. It's like, I'm not moving. Like, this is where I'm from.
Wow.
And I met he's a white dude, and then I met a white lady, too. She's a big dog in Hialeah police. And she's like, I've been in the force since I started. I ain't leaving. Like, she loves the city. Like, she embraced the change. You know, like, most people just got up and left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I feel like people just have kind of an identity crisis. And what I mean by that is just, like, I feel like the Georges, the Yulees, myself, and a couple of the people from the city now that that realize, like, we live in one of the coolest cities in the country, maybe even the world.
The world.
Yeah.
But we're so busy claiming where our parents are from that we don't embrace where we're from. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, it's frustrating. So kind of like I said, I could have moved to New York and LA and been set, but I want to make it here. I want to pioneer here. Maybe I don't get that I don't get the praise for it, but maybe someone that I put on or someone that I helped or someone that kind of sees the same way I see, maybe they do just because of everything I did. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, you guys doing like the 305 radio is kind of cool because it gives us an outlet to come and talk, you know. Funny shit is, I did a radio interview in New York before I did a radio interview here.
Oh.
That's kind of crazy, you know.
That's insane.
Well, you know what's funny is, I, mind you, and I don't know radio things, but I heard that Pitbull's Welcome to Miami had more spins in Texas than it did in Miami.
What? I wouldn't doubt it. It's sad to say, but...
You get what I'm saying? But it's the support system here, and it's the politics here, and it's just like... You know, I've talked to a lot of people that are from here, and I'm really big on, like, trying to unite heads from here. And it's just fucking egos and entitlement and, like, oh, I've been doing this shit for 20 years. Like, yo, but unfortunately, the millennials don't care who you are. So you got to keep working.
Or how long you've been doing it.
Yeah, and, like, no, they don't care, you know. And, but there's really big people here that have done a lot of shit for the city, and they got zero acknowledgement for it. And then there's a kid that's been doing it for 6 months, and his Instagram is popping, and... He's getting all the shine, so the older dude is, like, bitter about it. But instead of being bitter, he's just like, the right... My whole theory is the right people know. In any situation, in any area, the right people are always going to know what it is. Now, the fans is a different story now. Do you want clout, or do you want to make a change? And that's kind of, like, where I stand with that. You know, like, I'm not... Like, I do what I do, but my shit is real life. Like, I got friends that have the same kind of car that I do. They only put it on the weekends. It's a weekend car. I'll go to Publix and that shit on a Wednesday. And they know it. Like, well, funny enough, I went to, they just had Donk Day, the big car show in Wynwood. And I was running an errand in the morning, and I seen my boy was there early as shit. So I called him. He's like, oh, pull in real quick. And it was my friend Juice and another friend Isaac from GSE. And Juice the Barber.
So they were
there early because they want to get the spot. They're like, man, it's not going to be the same without the white 75 here. And I'm like, man, every day is Donk Day for me. And then Juice is like, yo, he drives this shit a lot. So it's like, you know, like, and it's cool. Like, it's something they, it's like something for people to look forward to. And I love that there's more activations in Miami. Like, I'm glad that people are activating in the city.
We're breaking ground.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is that's what people don't understand. Since I was blessed enough to work with who I worked with and was able to travel the world and travel all over the states and, like, be at all the All-Stars and Super Bowls and all this stuff and see how they activate in different cities, that, you know, it just shows to show you how South Floridians, we're behind. Like, we're so behind compared to, like, a New York and an L.A. And at the end of the day, like, we're looked at. We're, like, the same stature as a New York and L.A. The only difference is we're the playground.
Yeah.
New York is the office. LA is the crib, Miami's the playground.
What do you see as some of the things that, in that sense of the activations, the events, and things like that, what are some of the differences for some that wouldn't really be able to understand that?
I mean, every weekend in LA, there's something to do. Mm-hmm. Miami kind of just have the same shit every weekend.
So you're saying there's something different every time?
But like brand-wise, like a Nike, a Puma, and Adidas are doing something every weekend, like in LA.
Oh, wow.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they understand what it is to activate. They understand what it is to, you know, like, I've done events here where I've gotten hired to bring people in, and I'm inviting them to, like, but what am I going to go do there? I was like, yo, just to go do something new. Like, they don't comprehend what it is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, they think it's like they have to do something to go. Like, there's a reason for me to go.
Yeah, like, it's like, no, it's just to come and see something new, like, do something new. And
yeah.
It took a while for people to understand what activating is and what, like, you know,
to actually get involved and
to like look forward to it, you know. Like, now our Basel is kind of activation central, but there's too many activations.
Yeah.
And like one of my pet peeves too is, like, you have all these great artists in Miami and they all get pushed out from Basel because everyone flies in and everyone wants to see someone new. And then it's like, if I'm an artist and I live here and I have 360 other days throughout the year to do shit in Miami, why the fuck am I gonna wait for those 5 days that it's the toughest to do shit when there's 51 other weekends in the year for me to activate in Miami and do something different and fucking give people a reason to go out?
Preach.
Why do you wanna do that shit in those fucking 5 days that are the toughest, and then you get mad because your friends don't show up? But I feel that's kind of selfish because your friends wanna go see something that's not gonna be here next weekend. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be here next weekend.
Yeah.
That's just not.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's just understanding. I think ego has a lot to do with it down here. It's just like, I think more people need to, like, chill out. Mm-hmm. I think more people need to forget about the bigger activations that are not Miami involved. Because remember, a lot of things happen in Miami, but they're not Miami.
This is true, yeah.
You know, like Art Basel's in Miami. It's not Miami.
Art Basel's a...
Wynwood is new Miami.
Wynwood is new, but Art Basel comes... They do Art Basel twice a year. Yeah. Once in Europe and once in Miami. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's an outside company.
Yeah.
It's a whole different entity.
Well, the thing is, Art Basel's at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Everything else is just piggybacking exactly. on it. It's just during Art Basel week. Mm-hmm. But it's not Art Basel, you know?
That's the overabundance of these activations. Because mm-hmm. it went from Miami Beach...
To everywhere. Yeah,
wherever you could put a space in, yeah. you got your.
Like even last year, I was involved with Art Plugs. He had the Art Plug Powerhouse.
Yeah.
In Alapata, they took over a tow yard.
Whoa.
And they did a monster truck show. Like they activated. Like they had shit going on. Just a bunch of cool kids walking around. Nobody spent any money, that I know of.
Yeah.
But it was a cool event. It was definitely a cool event. Like he got people talking about it. He got it all over the press. Like a kid of Marson knows what the fuck he's doing. Like when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, I just did it. It was close to, like, my studio. It was easy to set up. Because the thing is, then you start trying to, like, you try to do too much, like, and the thing was, like, yo, if you want to come through, come through. If not, like, no pressure. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys seen the neon? It was just fucking my neon. That's it. Like, you know, it was just something to, like, activate, I guess. But it wasn't something where, like, if you didn't show up, I wasn't, you know, affected by it.
Yeah, you were good. Either way.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's just, like, me doing the Scorpio Bash is cool for me because it's kind of like early November usually.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing going on. It's kind of like Halloween just happened. So yeah. Halloween's kind of... And Halloween's not really an expensive holiday. It's just kind of a holiday that people just kind of go get fucked up and go do things.
And go,
it's not really an investment. People don't make a weekend of it.
No.
You know what I mean? It's just the night of.
Well, did you surprise Derek?
Well, no. People make a week out of it. Like, women have like fucking 14 costumes.
Do you know,
like,
how much costumes go for?
Nah, I don't.
I'm teasing you.
But, so I kind of do my parties, and then it's like Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's.
It's like, the entry into the holiday.
I guess. Well, no, because Halloween is what it is, but I kind of just, I feel like there's like a gap between Halloween and Thanksgiving.
There was nothing there. There was nothing happening.
Well, no, it's just it falls on my birthday's the 8th, so it's kind of like I chose that. It's just like I always kind of do it like the weekend closest to my birthday.
The universe made it happen.
Yeah, there you go. The universe spoke.
Talking about doing so much, I'm going to go through a couple of words that you find when researching Derek G. And I want you to tell me what your favorite part of everything that you do is. So you're creative engineer, owner and founder, you're a blogger, you do photography, you represent Hialeah, you have merchandise, you do events, you're in hospitality, art branding, image curator, content conductor. Tell me what you feel about that.
Busy. I haven't worked for nobody in 14 years. I've been self-employed for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
Never had to borrow money from the family or from any friends to take care of my business. I don't have to answer to nobody. Every day I wake up and do whatever I want. You know, tomorrow I'm shooting for a big publication, which is pretty cool. I'm excited. I've never shot for them. But, like, it was through a friend.
Give me the exclusive, Derek.
But, like, and that's tomorrow. And then Wednesday, I'm just kind of running missions. And then Wednesday night, I go to Brazil.
Oh, caught him right before Brazil. Right. Man, how dope is that?
So, it's, you know, it's cool.
I mean, busy. We've covered so much with you, and you've dropped so many gems. I mean, what do you, you know, if someone that's trying to come up, here's this conversation, here's this podcast, what is the best advice you could give them in regards to a person coming up in Miami, and then tell me to someone that's coming into Miami?
If you're from here, like, work on your neighborhood, work out of your neighborhood, like, do shit in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, every neighborhood needs a voice. Every neighborhood needs, like, that one person's gonna stand up for them, because they all want to rep. Like, even with me with the Hialeah hats,
mm-hmm.
like, that was something I did for me and a couple of friends. It wasn't like a thousand thinking about selling them, but then everyone kept asking me for them.
Yeah,
sold thousands of those shits. Like, thanks, you know what I mean? But it wasn't like a
Hialeah.
It wasn't like oh, I'm gonna start a brand.
But like, you just did it. It was organic. It was an organic thing.
Yeah. Like, even now, like, I don't, you know, you can find my stuff at Shoe Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Shoe Gallery has my stuff. Daily has my stuff randomly,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the sneaker resellers out here.
Okay.
And Juice at his barbershop off of 57th and the Palmetto has like a little cage with a couple pieces, like, and if I run out, I run out. It's like, I'm not fucking running to make orders. Like, it's fun, you know, it's a quick, it's like a quick flip. Mm-hmm. It's not nothing that, like, you know, I make a little money off of it, but it's not like I'm living off of it. I'm not trying to, like, it's something I do for fun, something cool. Like, right now I'm going to Rio, so I made Rio de Janeiro shirts. I got friends in Rio, so I'm gonna take them some shirts. So now there's IAE shirts floating around in Rio. Whether they keep them or they give them away, they're in the country and they're floating around. And yeah, in 20 years they might be in a thrift shop, and I don't know where I'm gonna be in 20 years. And maybe IAE's the new Versace. I don't know.
You never know.
I'm doing it for fun. You know what I mean? Like, I have all my little, like I just built kind of a little storefront, mm-hmm. where kind of like I don't want to compete against the people who sell for me. Because mm-hmm. I don't have the time to sit at a store, and I don't want to hire somebody. I have zero employees.
Yeah.
Everyone I work with is work for hire. So it's like everyone's like independent contractor. Like, Jen, you know, done some stuff for me, and say, you want to work today? Cool, I got you this much, come through.
Okay.
You know, like, I have my little network of, you know, photo and video and just production people that I deal with mm-hmm. for certain jobs. But like, I don't want to fucking sit at a store all day.
I'm with
like,
you.
Waiting for fucking customers.
I'm with you, bro.
You know, but I have it, and if, you know, someone wants to come and they, you know, it's presentable, everything's hung up, you can see the shit. And then, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't know, like, I have a huge vintage, like, collection of, like, Miami jackets and, like, Miami hats and stuff like that.
You got any Two Life Crew jackets?
Nah, I wish. Well, I mean, you're talking about the Hurricanes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Funny, yes, enough, of course. Funny enough, today I actually bought the black one and the orange one today.
Get the fuck out of here.
So I have all four. I have the orange, the green, the black, and the white.
Fire!
My boy actually, this is a real 80s. Hialeah Park hat. Yeah.
Nice.
My boy Van Sean from Shoe Gallery, he goes thrifting a lot, and he found the hat and the duffel together. So he's like, yo, I got this for you. Like,
oh, that's
nice.
So I kind of just do that for fun, and I have a couple people that I buy from, and, you know, just, I really got into it, and just, I'm really, you know, I have another company called Retro Dade that I'm really trying to, like, preserve that 80s and 90s Miami Two Life Crew, Trick Daddy, like,
that is
the dope. Real, like, what we're known for. That's not, you don't really kind of hear that sound anymore.
Yeah, at all.
But it's authentic to us. Uh-huh. And kind of, I think it's part of our history. So I would like, you know, people in 20, 30 years to still know about it. 100 years down the line to know.
Hell yeah.
They're going to know about it.
Derek G for president.
So kind of just doing that kind of stuff. And just, you know, there's a lot of cool dudes out here in Miami that, you know, really, I just met some dudes the other day. The company's called Polvos Azules.
Okay.
And they got, like, I actually bought a couple pieces from them. They got, like, dope, like, Nike, UM stuff, and, you know, UM now is Adidas.
Oh, get yeah, out so of here. They have Nike stuff.
Yeah, so, like, well, I mean, from, school, like, vintage, yeah, school, like, yeah. Vintage stuff, so, like, I got a couple people from them and whatnot, so, there's another dude out here, La Ropa Vieja, I think is his Instagram, and he's got, I bought this dope Hurricanes, it was, like, a Hanes hood, it's, like, a Hanes sweater for women,
uh-huh.
It's baby blue, but it has, like, the old school, like, surf style screen print with, like, the meshing colors.
What?
Some crazy piano, some just cool shit, and I got into it, and I kind of went ham, and I just, now I have this, like, crazy collection of, like, old Miami, like, vintage
that is so
things,
dope,
and it's
though,
just
man.
Kind of, it's kind of, like, happened, and I guess I got obsessed with it, and...
You think?
Yeah, I guess. I know, but...
What's one of your what's your prized possession when it comes out to Miami nostalgia?
Like Miami nostalgia?
It's one favorite thing of Miami.
It's
nostalgia.
Weird. It's really weird. I mean, I out of all the teams in Miami, and I'm not a sports fan.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love all UM shit, and I think I love UM shit because of the UM culture. Like, okay. Miami's such a big. I feel like Miami as a city is more of a fan of the Canes than it is the Dolphins.
It really is, though.
Yeah, but it's more of a street. It's more like a culture thing. It's not really a sports thing.
It's
you know
not. It's because you're born into it, and you're like, yo, you.
And no, and I think it's because the people who like paved the way, I guess, when it comes to like the street or us as minorities.
Yes.
They always pushed UM. So to me, I think it's like the Two Life Crew thing that I was like, they made it cool. So to me, I think it's cool because when I was a kid, my favorite team was the 49ers because they were the red team because I like the color red.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The fuck did I know about football as a kid? So,
yeah, he's red.
You know, and then it's like, oh, Joe Montana happens to be the best quarterback in the NFL and he happens to be on the team that I like. I bet. You know, so
go actually, red.
Go red. Yeah, I'm all about
my favorite Power Rangers, the Red Ranger. You know, my first my first Cadillac was red. Like, I love the color red. So
can't go wrong with it.
Just worked out, you know?
Is red still your favorite color?
Yeah, I mean, black, I guess. Black.
It's all black and red now.
Well, if you see the signature.
Yes.
You know, very true. Black, red, yeah. Black and red.
I mean, like, yo, your signature. Damn, Derek. That reminds me when I first met you. Mm-hmm. You just got that shit.
I got it when I was 24, so I got it.
You had just got it. You're like, yo.
11 years ago.
She was sick, man.
As a friendly reminder, every morning when I brush my teeth, I see it, and I gotta, you know, keeps me on my toes. I can't fuck up.
And brother, you are like the Zen. You're a Zen here. I mean, you're so calm and collected, and you've dropped so many gems today. And not a lot of people that you meet that are in the industry are as humble and as gathered as yourself.
Because I can say without, you know, tripping on my tongue, they're full of shit.
Fact.
They're full of shit, man. Fact. I try to talk to people about shit, and everyone's trying to be important, but they have no reason to be important. Like, they want to feel special, and I don't know for what reason. For clout, I guess they want to get into the club faster. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But I don't get it.
I have to admit, I was pleasantly surprised, because if you take a look at your, like, IG feed...
Oh, everyone thinks I'm a douchebag.
Yeah, like, you think you're just, like, the... Well, not a douchebag, but you're definitely, like, a party kind of guy, like, super, you know, like, extroverted, and you're actually much more calm and collected and gathered than I thought you'd
be. I'm very sure. Like, if I don't know you, I'm very short. Like, not everyone gets, like, the fun, crazy, goofy me, you know what I'm saying? Like, that has to be earned. I kind of have, like, I don't say a wall, but...
Some sort of barrier.
Levels. Yeah, barrier. Like, levels. Yeah.
You need access.
There's layers. There's layers to this shit.
Like that orange when you peel it says, when you get to know me, you peel it, and there's another orange peel in there. Yeah, you got to keep peeling, homie. You ain't there
exactly.
Yet.
I like the orange reference, too.
Orange. UM. I'm all about it. I mean, okay, so we were saying about... people in the city. Mm-hmm. You gave the advice to people in the city. What about now people coming from outside the city into the city?
So another thing that pisses me off about here.
You know what really grinds my gears?
It's more about the people that come in here. And I get it. You want to work with people that you have a relationship with. You want to work with people that you trust, people that you worked with in the past. Mm-hmm. For example, what happens here all the time, some big, you know, Fortune 500 company wants to do something in Miami, they fly down representatives from New York, that representative has a photographer and a videographer and a whatever and a this and a that, and they fly everybody down from New York. But then you have all those people down here that can do that.
Yes.
You don't have to fly them down, you don't have to get them per diem, and you don't have to get them a hotel. So you'll do it for cheaper. And then when they do, they want to pay them less because they're from down here.
Which makes no sense.
Absolutely.
Which is fun. No, it
no
makes
sense.
A lot of sense in the world, because they just figure, like, well, you're down there, so it's like we have to fly our guys. So our guys from New York are going out of their way to fly to Miami to work for us, but we have to pay them more. So at a business level, I understand why they do that. I just think it's fucked up. So it's kind of like I said, I have a lot of talented friends that left Miami because there's no opportunity. Mm-hmm. And really, I don't really make that much money here. Most of my money
so
I make is
make
with...
sense.
Most of my money I make from people, from clients from out of town, because at the same time, like, I'm used to billing. Mm-hmm. I'm used to New York and LA rates. I'm not used to Miami rates.
Yeah.
When I tell people, that's why I did IAE, mm-hmm. because I would get people that would haggle me for, like, pricing, and it's just like, yo, I'm used to getting paid this much, like, you can't get, and people get mad at me because I want to charge them that, like, oh, you're a ripoff. I'm like, no, I'm not. I got paid that yesterday. Like, you can't afford it. I'm sorry. Like, don't get mad at me. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, and a lot of my friends left because I understand it gets frustrating. Like, you want to do, like, you know, you it's your life. You know, it just sucks because they're gone and they rep Miami where they go, but...
You could have had that here.
Exactly. And then I understand, and it will happen here. It's just maybe not in our lifetime. You know, maybe my grandkids, maybe my kids. Maybe it does. I don't know. But, you know, as long as you've been doing this, you know it's not easy.
At all.
You've been doing 305 magazine for how long?
A long time.
And you took a break?
2006.
You know what I mean? It's just not fucking
easy. Since 2006.
You know, this shit's not fucking easy.
At all,
you
man.
You know what I mean?
And I think for me, like, not a lot of people when I talk about these things really understand. But when I speak of people like you, like Jenny, we had Jenny on the show last week, people don't get it that Miami's pretty fucked up. Not because of people, certain individuals. It's like the way the mind state, it doesn't make sense. Like, you have great events, you have family oriented events in your neighborhood, you're not going to support them. You have your best friends, really good friends, people you've worked with for
and
years.
And talented people.
So really talented that you won't fuck with unless someone says, yo, did you hear their shit is badass? And they're like, yo, now I need to work with them. Mm. Like, that's some bullshit.
Well, it took, you know, sorry to cut you off, but I mean, obviously, like, all of us, we grow from the first time we start something until down the line, but it took Birdman from New Orleans to work with me before Khaled was interested, before Ross was interested.
Yeah, look at that.
You know, all these other people were like, one of the people that I never got to work with as much as I wanted to was Pitt. Mm-hmm. I would work with him randomly here and there, mm-hmm. but we just never crossed paths like that, you know? I was more on the more so hip hop, more rap stuff. Mm-hmm. Pitt's more on the pop side, you know?
Yeah, he took that turn.
Worked more on that side. I was kind of more, because like the way it works with labels is like, hey, label reps talk to each other and they're like, hey, do you have a guy in Miami? You know, and then, yeah. You know, like I just actually got to work with Anita, you know, Anita from Brazil.
No.
You know, song Machica with J Balvin.
Yes.
The girl on the song. She's
okay.
Huge. She's Brazil. She's monster, like rock star. Like,
okay.
Beyonce mixed with Cardi B mixed with like Britney Spears, like huge.
Okay.
Huge, and I just got to work with her. She just did a song with Becky G. She did a song with Snoop. She did a song with the Mumble Kings and DJ Luan.
I don't know
his name. And it was all through reference. Like, I haven't really worked with an artist in a while. But because they were like, hey, it's like a big deal. It's three jobs. Like, and, you know, they flew me to LA to go shoot with her and Snoop.
Hope.
You know, but it was all literally through like production heads that have 30 followers on Instagram. They don't care about Instagram because they're grown ups. Like, yeah. They're not worried about that shit. Like, they have kids and lives, and like, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I've always been like, usually I'm the youngest one on a set because mm-hmm. I'm working with all the old heads. I'm working with all the people that have been doing it for 30 years that, you know, worked on $1 million budgets and stuff like that. I'm not worried about the hood videos. They're wearing a $2,500 outfit, but the video costs $500.
Yeah.
That's a kind of
makes no sense.
Fucking press the eject seat on that shit. That was, you know, you've seen like the memes where it's like client's expectation, client budget. Yeah.
You saw the Avengers one?
Which one?
The Avengers one?
Nah.
Oh my god.
Oh the actual video.
It's an actual commercial, bro.
I have seen that.
The expectation, what you get, what the expectation is, and what you budgeted for.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but it's the funniest thing. And I think that pretty much sums up the way
that
you're
doing. IAE actually worked out great for me because off rip, when you're letting people know you're expensive, you get rid of all the hagglers.
Yeah.
Luckily, most of my clients aren't even asking me for a quote. They're just like, yo, send me an invoice.
Perfect.
So that's a blessing, you know? It's like, they know what they're going to get. You know, I'm not really out to like fuck anyone over. I just want to make what I deserve, you know?
Of course.
Might be more than most of the people that I know. But it's not my fault you charge what you charge.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
ouch.
Like, I have friends that they work hard, man, and they're mm-hmm. really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. But like, the clients that they choose is on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're choosing to go after these clients that, you know, when it comes to photo and video stuff, like I said, I'm not doing it as often as I used to. Like, I have to like want to do it, or like the budget mm-hmm. has to be right. I'm doing maybe 2 or 3 jobs a month at this point. I have friends that work 4 days a week on stuff, and they're running and editing. They're great at what they do, and you know, but
it's the nature of the business.
Yeah,
you charge,
but at the same time, like I try to teach them, like I'm making either the same or more than them, and I'm only working 3 days a month.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm able to do the pool parties, and I'm able to work with Yuli, and I'm able to work with other stuff. You know what I mean? Like the whole Yuli thing was more of like a passion thing for me. Like, obviously, I want to make some money down the line. I definitely see a future, you know, with Yuli, you know, as a boxer and as a brand. And, you know, he's such a stand-up dude. And, you know, his network and his relationships are insane. Yeah. You know, I just think it was a matter of him building something that people could stand with. Because as a person, they can stand next to him.
Fact.
You know what I mean? He's such a great guy. But when it comes down to, like, the business side of it, now he looks like a business. Now he looks like a brand. Like, mm-hmm. now he walks into a room with his uniform or his boxing shit. You go to the fights, everyone looks very traditional. He looks very modern. You look at his uniform, you know, the way Now he just tatted his head. He looks fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. He does his braids. Yeah. He's got like all his shit. You know, Jen's been there with us on most of the fights. She's been at more fights with him than I have, just because she's been working with him first, you know. Yeah. So we just kind of like, I don't even shoot 90% of his stuff. We either get Jen or get other people to shoot it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm at a point where I don't want to shoot. Like, I'll have my camera there because I want to pull the camera out because I, like, I see something that I want to capture.
Yeah.
But I don't have to, like, run back. Like, I'm over it. Like, I'm over it as a job. I still love it. I still do it all the time. Yeah. But, like, I don't want to do it if I don't have to.
I agree with you. I know how you feel, bro. I know how you feel.
I'm at that point now. But
That is, I mean, that's, I think that's the goal of most of us. We want to get to a point where you're just like, yo, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah. You graduate.
You do that. You graduated, pretty much.
Graduate.
I mean, and shoot, how are we looking on time, bro?
We got 8 minutes.
We're running out of time. Damn.
What's up, Tia? My aunt from LA.
Thank you, Terry. Shout out to Tia in LA.
Tia Laura.
And man, let me tell you, I think this has been really dope, man. You've dropped so many gems. I keep saying that. You know why? Because it's fucking true. For anyone that's listening to this, Miami is not the fucking bullshit you see on TV. Yo, CSI Miami.
In LA.
Yo, no, listen to this. The case turned out the killers in Sweetwater. Guess where they go? Homestead.
Nice.
Great. Fucking Miami,
the
bro.
The funniest shit I ever saw on CSI Miami. You remember Next Friday?
Yeah.
Remember the three Mexican brothers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember the big one?
No.
Okay, there was a little baby Joker, a little Joker.
Yeah, okay.
So Joker is like the main one that covers his eyes.
Yeah.
And you had the fat boy, and then you had the big brolic bald one.
Yeah.
So he was on an episode of CSI Miami. They're in a courtroom. He's there. You see all his tattoos, whatever. The judge goes, "Oh, you're from Hialeah, Florida. Do this shit." I'm like, "Hell no!" I saw that shit. I'm like, "Man, nobody Hialeah look like that."
Straight up, you from Hialeah?
That shit was funny as hell, man. I've always tried to look for that episode to record that part and put it out there.
Yo, anyone listening to this, we need that footage.
I mean, CSI is a fucking. It was interesting. It was funny. The intros are hilarious.
Yeah, no, I just think that everything is so overdone and overplayed. It's just fun
like,
to watch.
I'm kind of like on edge with Bad Boys 3. I hope they don't fuck up.
Listen.
Bad Boys 1 was flawless.
Yeah, Bad Boys 2. How long was that bridge?
Man, fuck the bridge. Like, yo, fuck that bridge. Like, I'm gonna go to a point right now that bothered me, and I've spoken to people about this shit. So with Retro Dade, another thing that I'm working on is, like, people talk about all this culture appropriate shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my biggest pet peeves is when you have a song called Cruising Down the Street in My 6'4 and you pull up in a 63. That's some car shit.
Yeah.
But if you're in Miami and you're talking about something, like, I want to see what you're talking about. Don't give me some bullshit. I understand for production value, you can't always go there because of budgets and shit like that. But for theatrical purposes,
mm-hmm.
when the fuck was the last time you seen a Haitian blow a fucking ram's horn to, like, gather? Like, I saw that shit in the movie, I'm like, what the fuck? And they're riding around in muscle cars, like, that shit's not Miami. That's not Miami, man. Like, so, like, I would have loved to sit down with Will and Martin and the team making the movie.
Guys, this doesn't happen in Miami ever.
And, like, sit with them and talk to them about, like, what the game plan is and kind of seeing, you're like, yo, that's real Miami, that's not.
Yeah,
you know, like when they go freeze mother bitches, like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, part one was flawless.
It was,
and funny enough, today I went thrifting and actually found it on VHS. That was part one, yeah, on VHS.
That's a universe, bro. That's even better.
But
you have a VHS player?
Yeah, I do actually.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say, kind of killed yourself with that.
No, but it's more that because the box was perfect. It's more than just I have it as a keepsake, like on my shelf.
Bro, you know it's gonna be worth some money.
Like, I don't think so. It's gonna be worth
20 years. You can't even find a VHS in 20 years, bro.
But I got a few of them on VHS. But yeah, like, that's like, you watch movies and shit like that. Like, that shit pisses me off.
I mean, I'm with you on
like,
that.
Like, All About the Benjamins was pretty good. Like, I feel like they portrayed Miami pretty good.
It did well. Yeah. I mean, it's tough when you start talking about, you start shooting the Miami movies, because so many of them, either it depends on the what story you're telling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I was so disappointed to find that in Scarface. The place in Brickell is really in LA.
What place in Brickell?
When they come out, that the place where they first do the investments and they take the paycheck.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know why they left Miami?
No.
Because they were being attacked by the Cubans. There's a really dope documentary by Brian De Palma, which is the mm-hmm. director mm-hmm. of Scarface.
Yeah.
And they were only able to shoot here, I think, for a month or something, because the Cubans were mad at them. They were making this movie about this. Because they were... the Cubans here were already getting shitted on by all the Americans because of all the Mariel and all the stuff, and like, you know, Castro sending all these garbage people, you know, per se, what they were saying about the people. So now you're making this movie that just co-signs that, that this murderer that's Cuban, so they got ran out of the city. The production got ran out of the city. That's why they filmed most of it in L.A. They wanted to film in Miami.
What the fuck?
Yeah, watch the, this, I forgot, I'll try to see if I can find the documentary and I'll send it to you. But that was like the whole thing with, that was the whole thing with,
I did not know that was Scarface.
So it wasn't, it wasn't because they wanted to, it was because they got, you know, for their lives, like they don't want to get... You know,
shit. Now that I know that,
I got shit to say. Yo, so, what's up, Manny? What's up, last time?
So real quick, man, we gotta start wrapping up, man. So for those that want to find you, and look at all of your projects or whatnot, how do we find you?
If you want to see my work, you can go to Derek _ G, Derick_G. If you want to see my personal life, go to Dade County Derek G.
Dade County Derek, for sure, that fits you perfectly, bro. I mean, all day. I mean, I'm so happy you came through.
Yeah, no,
before
sorry.
You went on that crazy ass trip and wanted to see you for 2 months. Yeah. But man, I'm glad you came out, man. Thank you very much for showing up at the show, man. It's definitely
keep doing it.
I love this, man. I have Miami.
Yo,
man,
can
Miami
you update
it
on Spotify?
I got him. It's that fuck.
That was for you.
Boom!
I love it, love
that
it.
That was for you.
Boom! Thanks.
I'm gonna send links to my cousins, man.
I'm gonna post everything tonight, Drea.
It's 9 o'clock. You got three hours.
Got 3 hours. It's gonna be up, and I'll send Derek G all the links. Dre.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to 305 Radio, part of 305 Magazine, right here on MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. A wonderful week, everyone.
Man, thank you for tuning in. At 305 Radio, everything.
Pastorito Kings.
Pastorito Kings in the house.